Let us give thanks and pray. We thank you, Lord God the Father, that you have given us your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, that you have borne in your sacred body all our sins, and by your blood have blotted out all our transgressions. We thank you, Lord, the Holy Spirit, that you have created in our hearts true faith, that we know of nothing to trust for our salvation except Jesus Christ and him crucified. O God, grant us your grace that we may perfectly believe that all our sins are forgiven for the sake of the passion and death of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so enlighten us by your Holy Spirit that in the power of our Redeemer's death we may day by day put off sin and never forsake the Lord Jesus Christ until we see him face to face in life eternal. We ask it all in Christ's name. Amen. Be seated. Our scripture reading for this evening and for our meditation and our homily tonight is taken from the Gospel of John, the 20th chapter, beginning with verse 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Then Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As my Father has sent me, I also send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. And if you retain the sins of any, they are retained." Here ends the word of God. Let us unite our hearts in prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you through the gift of your Son. You have worked out the entire process of our salvation. And we thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, for now by your sacred body and by your glorious resurrection, establishing peace between us sinners and this holy God. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for creating faith in our hearts to trust and cling to Christ alone. Strengthen us tonight through this faith. We ask it all in our risen Savior's name. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We're told that Jesus breathed on his disciples. And I don't know if you're like me, but I always wonder, how did he do that? Did he just kind of blow a gentle breath? Did he just start talking? Was it maybe a little more forceful than we might think? It's an interesting little thing, isn't it, that the Gospel of John includes for us, that Jesus breathed on his Holy Spirit right before he starts speaking to them. The Greek word for breathing and breath is the same root from that we get for the word spirit. And it has to do with life and spirit even inside of a human being. In fact, the word pneumonia, even though it sounds different, is actually based on the same root because it's something that deals with the breath that's down and in the lungs. And Jesus here, before he speaks to his disciples and gives us this command and tells them to receive this Holy Spirit, he now puts a breath out on them. Very interesting thing. And we know that the Holy Spirit is, as we confess in the Creed, the Lord and giver of life. And it's interesting that the primary message Jesus wants to initially send out into the world is that of peace. And the Holy Spirit is the one that brings this peace that Christ has established now out into the world. So in a sense, this was the first official meeting that Jesus had with his disciples. And he doesn't waste any time with trivial matters. As soon as he shows up in the room and begins speaking to them, he immediately gets to the most important thing the world needs. It's as if he is breathing on them and saying, you need to bring this peace that I have won on the cross out into the world. And his mission has now been finalized. Now that he has risen from the dead, that is kind of the final capstone, if you will, to this whole thing. And he will now turn and send his disciples out into the world with the greatest message that there is, and to continue the work of distributing the very thing that he has won. In our seminary classes, we often learn the distinction between salvation won, salvation distributed, and salvation received. Christ has won and purchased our salvation on the cross for every one of us. It is distributed now in the world through the work of the Holy Spirit, through the means of grace and the proclamation of God's word. And it is then received when God creates faith in a person's heart to love Christ and appreciate what he has done. So the peace that Christ wants his disciples, his apostles, to take out into the world is based upon his completed work. And he has paid the debt in full between sinners like us and God. And isn't it interesting that what does he do? He shows them the very things that were used to pay for that peace. He places his hands in front of them with the mark still on there from the cross. This payment before God on our behalf has been verified by the wounds in his body, and the payment is done. There's nothing else that needs to be added. His resurrection from the dead is God the Father's final stamp of approval on what he's done. This is what a commentator named Lenski says. These holy wounds proclaim that God is at peace with us. That's a great line, isn't it? The wounds in Christ's hands declare that God is at peace with us. When I was younger, I don't write many checks anymore today, but years ago I used to occasionally have to write checks. And sometimes for a larger amount, maybe let's say a purchase of a car or something. And the larger the amount that the check was you had to write, quite often there was a verification process that had to be done. They would maybe check in a little box to see if you were in the bad checklist. Or as things got an electronic, they would start to run it through a computer. Or possibly, even if it was big enough, call your bank to make sure that the payment would be approved. On Good Friday, our Lord Jesus, through his precious blood, wrote out the payment for your entrance into heaven. And he sealed that in his blood and by his death. God the Father took that payment on Friday, held it overnight onto Saturday, all day Saturday, and finally on Easter Sunday morning gave his stamp of approval that it was sufficient and it was received. And it covered every one of your sins. The resurrection of Jesus Christ, St. Paul says about him, he was raised to life for our justification. The gift of peace is no empty word, writes a Norwegian bishop. It is a heavenly reality which settles itself sweetly and powerfully in every soul who is open to it. Now, sometimes we maybe feel like, I don't know if I deserve this peace from God. Maybe we're aware of things in our lives and stuff that we've done years ago, stuff that still boils up and troubles our conscience. There's a story told about Martin Luther that a pastor who served a church nearby came to see him one day, a young pastor, and he was apparently very had a hard time believing that he could be forgiven because he had given approval to a couple to get a divorce. And he later realized this was wrong and he shouldn't have done it. And now the family was split apart. And so he came to Luther and he said, "I don't know what to do." And Luther said to him, "Yes, what you've done is wrong. But don't now go and do a greater wrong by calling God a liar when he tells you that you are forgiven in his word." We can come up with some pretty bad sins in our lives, all of us. And we've got those still down in our personal record that we have in our consciences and things. And sometimes it's easy for us to feel like, "I don't know if I should be quite forgiven for that one." And maybe we think that we've become so good at sinning that we've somehow managed to come up with one that's a little outside of what Christ's blood could cover, a little beyond the grace of God. Well, our Lord writes to us in his word, and he says, "The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin." There's no asterisk next to that. All sin. And so tonight, if there's something maybe on your conscience or down in your heart or mind that just keeps bothering you, that maybe God didn't quite forgive that one, listen again to his marvelous grace that we see here in our Savior. Why has God done all of this for us? Why has he not only saved us, but sent that Holy Spirit out into our hearts to create this faith down inside of us? Certainly, it's to get us to heaven. That's the most wonderful thing. But he's also done it for this life. And I love how Martin Luther puts it. "Christ has done all of this for us in order that I might be his own, live under him in his kingdom, and serve him in everlasting righteousness." This whole process, dying for you, rising for you, sending the Holy Spirit out into your life through the means of grace, creating faith in your heart, the entire process of why you've become a child of God is so that you could live under this grace, live in his kingdom, and serve him with everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness. So God invites you to live for the day when you will no longer need faith. Because when we're in heaven, faith will suddenly be irrelevant because now we will be receiving the final goal of that faith that we had in this life. And we will be in the presence of God forevermore and see our precious Savior face to face. Live for that day. Amen. Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Abide with us, Lord, for it is toward evening and the day is far spent. Abide with us and with your whole church. Abide with us in the end of the day, in the end of our life, and in the end of the world. Abide with us with your grace and goodness, with your holy word and sacrament, with your strength and blessing. Abide with us when the night of affliction and temptation comes upon us, the night of fear and despair when death shall come. Abide with us and with all the faithful through time and eternity. Amen. And receive the blessing of the Lord. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.